When Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, does he mean the only way, truth, and life? I answer that question in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In our Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Christopher Neuendorf writes about his journey into Lutheranism from Greek Orthodoxy. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. It is simply assumed by many families, parents, certainly by schools, almost universally by our politicians, that preschool is a good thing for kids. Get them into that classroom, whatever it may be, for some hours a day so they can be ready when kindergarten rolls around. We need to start them at 3, 4 may be too late, but they need to be prepared for school. That's the conventional wisdom, almost universally accepted. Does the actual data bear that out? Well, it turns out there's a new study, a mega study, on the effects of preschool, and it has some surprising findings. Joining us to talk about this study, Joy Pullman, executive editor of The Federalist, author of the book The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled Robust Study, Preschool Makes Children Learn Less and Misbehave More. Joy, welcome back.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
How have preschool programs increased in the last 40 years?
Well, they've actually increased rather dramatically. I was surprised to learn this. But 40 years ago, there were almost no government preschool programs, I think only in 2 states. And I think right now there are 43 states that have government preschool programs. Plus, there's been a longstanding, I think since basically 1965, federal preschool program aimed at especially low-income, at-risk kids. So there's, if we use the word explosion, I think that would be a pretty fair description of the data. You know, went from being very rare, unusual thing for a child to be enrolled in formal preschooling to be actually, more above the average. I think it's almost 2/3 of kids do some sort of kind of, it's not all full-day daycare kind of center settings for those, that majority of kids, but 2/3 of kids at least go to like a little enrichment class twice a week or more today.
Tell us about this mega study that was recently published in the journal Developmental Psychology.
I was really interested to see this finally come out because this is a set of researchers from Vanderbilt University that really got an unprecedented ability to really robustly study a government preschool, wide-scale preschool program inside the United States. And so their study, which I think is now in its 6th or 7th year, because they followed the kids through 6th grade now, their study is the only one of a state preschool that has the best, highest quality study design that we have available to social science. It's known as a randomized controlled trial. So that's just known as the best, most reliable research that we can get, but it's really hard to get on a preschool program because, of course, as the study authors write in their most recent study that I wrote about, it's really hard to kind of just randomly put kids in or out of preschool because obviously you have parent decisions playing into that really matter. But they had an opportunity, an unusual opportunity to do just that when Tennessee announced it was opening a statewide preschool program that's been really praised throughout the nation by really high-ranking politicians such as President Obama and his education secretary, Arne Duncan. These researchers, since Tennessee was doing this program, what they did was go to all of the sites in the state that were opening a preschool with this new program, with this new funding, but that had more applications than they had spots to put the kids in. And so what they did was then offer admission to the preschool randomly chosen kids out of the pool of kids who wanted to get in the preschool. Everyone couldn't get in. And so it was randomly assigned who got in and who didn't. So that really provided them a great, fair comparison. The only difference between these kids and their parents wanted to put them in this preschool. The only difference then is the fact that they didn't happen to get in. And so that's a really good way of kind of what they call isolating, the treatment. So, we have pretty good reliability of knowing that the results that they observed in their study really came from whether the child went to preschool or not, and not some other factor such as parental involvement, how much money they have, all the other factors that could influence that.
I think it's also important to point out that this was a longitudinal study that mm-hmm. tracked the same group of kids, and that really is able to make a better connection but concerning the questions that they're studying.
Oh, that's right. And so I've been actually following early childhood research for a really long time, and I like to read all the new things that come up. So I've read a lot of early childhood studies, and this one, it was especially unusual, yeah, in following the kids long-term all the way now until sixth grade, because most of the preschool studies, I think it's pretty fair to say, at most, I mean, even the better ones or the longer ones only go to third grade. So this one's farther than almost all of them so far.
What negative academic results did this study find for children who attended preschool?
Right. So, I mean, to the complete surprise of this research team, the overwhelming, in fact, there was not one positive result found long-term for the participants in this preschool program, either academically or socially. So academically, at Tennessee, like basically every other state because of federal rules, starts academically testing kids in third grade. So the researchers also gave at kindergarten a pretty commonly used kind of kindergarten entrance test to the kids. And then they looked at the results of the kids on the state standardized tests in grades 3, 4, 5, and 6. And on every single academic test that the kids did, they had negative academic results. So that this is in Tennessee, they do annual math, science, and reading tests. So all of those were statistically significant negative results for the kids who did attend the state preschool program. And this was a shock to the researchers. They had expected to find the opposite, that preschool actually helped kids academically, but that was not what they found. The only positive result ever found in this study for kids who did attend the preschool was a very small increase in what's considered kindergarten readiness for the preschool students. And, you know, so they, for example, were better at recognizing letters and numbers, you know, colors, just the basic preschool stuff when they got into kindergarten. But that was the only positive academic finding. And the kids who didn't go to preschool quickly learned all those things once they got to kindergarten, and they caught up to their preschool peers just fine. And then they began surpassing them very quickly.
Someone might suggest that the Tennessee preschool program was just a bad apple. How do you respond to that?
This was one of the largest studies that's ever been done on kids. And as I mentioned earlier and kind of went into detail on, the study design is really hard to quibble with. The randomized controlled trial is accepted, you know, by basically all scientists as being a very high quality study design. So I think you might, again, so the researchers themselves, they did not expect to find these negative results. And of course, they don't like it, but they also basically, you know, said, we stand by our data. Even though we don't like the results of our research, we have to say that this is truly what we found. And the other thing to kind of add to that is, I mean, despite there being kind of a lot of PR and hype to the contrary, this is not an isolated study finding about preschool and daycare and maternal separation effects on very young children. There are many, many other studies. And in fact, the only other randomized controlled trial of children entering on preschool, which is of the federal Head Start study, didn't have as strong negative effects for the preschool kids, but it also didn't find any positive effects. And it did find some negative effects on preschool attenders, both academically and socially. So this isn't an isolated study. This has been found before. It's a good study design. It's pretty reliable, you know, and anyone looking at it fairly, really, I think, has to take this evidence seriously and consider that it's pretty reliable. One other very, very large study that I think almost blew me away when I read it a couple of years ago. The Canadian province of Quebec implemented, now theirs was a little different than this study. They implemented a very large early childcare program for all children in Quebec. And they started with putting allowing basically free preschool to 3 and 4 year olds in Quebec, basically all of them, regardless of income. And then they extended that downward all the way into little babies. And then the long-term results of that, were very sad and very shocking. I mean, so different researchers doing different studies on the kids in Quebec find, for example, you know, again, significant increases in crime rates, very significant increases in kids' anxiety and behavioral problems. Basically, the kids who were separated from their moms longer and earlier were very clearly harmed by that in Quebec, and the evidence there was very strong. So, you know, there's lots of evidence out there, and it's actually, you know, very sad because then you think, you know, behind all of these numbers, there's a little child, right? So this again, it's not an isolated finding. It's actually very common. What is not common about preschool is for the many, many results like this to are often hid or not discussed or just ignored by politicians and the media.
What do we know about the effects of other kinds of non-maternal or non-familial care on young children?
If you basically just kind of take some, I've, in some of the researchers' own words, I'm hesitating here because I'm trying to think, you know, can I remember I know the Institute for Family Studies publishes on this regularly. And one of their researchers who wrote about his work on this issue, you know, and of course I'm paraphrasing him, but he basically summarized the research as the longer and the earlier children are away from their mothers, the more they are negatively affected. So that's basically the top takeaway from, again, lots of different studies over time consistently find that. And so, you know, some studies, for example, show, you know, and of course, everyone who's listening, if you, this just relates to your own experience. If you think a little person really doesn't mind, you know, going to the babysitters, you know, once or twice a week, a couple hours, mom and dad go on a date night, mom gets, you know, a little break or her nails done or something, you know, whatever, you know, just a little bit here or goes to grandma, you know, grandma's house here or there. Those are very, very common things in the lives of many, you know, babies. And, but that's a very, very different thing from, you know, every single morning at 7:30 a.m., you know, my mom drops me off at this place where there's, you know, if you're a baby, there could be three other babies in the same room as you with one adult taking care of, you know, four babies. That's a very common state caregiver to baby ratio. And you're there all day until 5:30 till your mom picks you up, you know, and she's exhausted. She's been working all day. Her, you know, daddy's exhausted. You go home and you basically get some food and go back to bed. That's a higher amount of stress that that puts on a baby who has been basically imprinted. The security blanket for a baby is his mom. And, you know, and that's been imprinted from the baby from, you know, the very, very first moments that baby could hear and see and smell and hear mom's heartbeat and so forth. So again, a lot of times when people talk about like early childhood things, there's a lot of variation that's kind of covered under the word preschool or, you know, non-maternal care. And I think sometimes that's exploited to try to get people who we all can recognize it's not a big deal if the baby kind of is a little nervous and is away from mom with grandma for 2 hours, but that happens only occasionally versus that's happening to the baby all day, every single day, you know, for the majority of that baby's life.
Joy Pullman is our guest. She's executive editor of The Federalist. We're talking about a new study on the negative effects of preschool. So how does she explain the almost universal support for preschool among our politicians of both parties? When Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, does he mean the only way, truth, and life? I answer that question in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In our Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Christopher Neuendorf writes about his journey into Lutheranism from Greek Orthodoxy. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Does this sound like your church budget process at the end of the year? You get last year's budget and go through with a committee line by line, maybe what we should spend next year. Maybe you have a prayer. But where's the Word of God in this process? When do the people hear what the small catechism says about giving and why we do it? Contact us at LCMS Stewardship so that we can help you fix this process, put the Word of God first, and put your congregation on a good footing. LCMS.org/stewardship.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Scripture tells us to not neglect the gathering of the saints. For too long, many of our churches have been shuttered and our gatherings curtailed. During this Lenten season, it is time to beautify our sacred spaces and return to our traditions. Ad Crucem is having a sale on our church banners. For the month of March, our banner prices will be reduced by up to 30%. Visit adcrucem.com to take advantage of this incredible pricing. That's adcrucem.com.
Sloth. Have you heard of sloth? Maybe you've heard it called one of the seven deadly sins. As Lutherans, we know that all sins are equally deadly, but what is this sloth? Well, there's more to it than just being lazy and not getting up out of bed in the morning. There's also a spiritual sloth, a spiritual deadness. If you want to know more about this and how to overcome the sin of sloth, pick up your copy of the March issue of the Lutheran Witness, where you'll learn all about sloth and zeal. To learn more about the Lutheran Witness, visit lcms.org/witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a new study on the negative effects of preschool on children. Joy Pullman is our guest. Folks, the Lutheran Witness magazine is available in digital and print formats for an annual subscription of less than $20. Learn more at lcms.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Interpreting the world from a Lutheran perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine, lcms.org/witness or 1-800-325-3040. Joy, given everything we've discussed so far, how do you explain the almost universal support for preschooling among our politicians of both parties?
Well, if I were to put the most charitable construction on it, I think I would say that maybe it's desperation. We do in, you know, this country have a very serious problem with child separation from parents. And often that's deliberate separation from parents, either through parents prioritizing a career over the best needs of their children and babies, or the parents prioritizing their own emotional comfort with choosing not to provide that baby a father and mother who are married and can take care of the baby that they made together. So we have a very big problem in this country with family separation, and it does really, really hurt kids. And we see the effects of that everywhere. You know, so if you talk to teachers in schools, if you talk to, you know, people who work with special needs children, therapists and all the right, you know, they're very cognizant of the fact that children are, in many, many American children are harmed by family separation and conflict. That's obvious just by stating that, you know. So I think many politicians, again, if I'm being the most charitable that I can be, you know, they look at that problem and they hope that maybe preschool could help with it, because everyone has compassion on a little child who is sad and we all want to help that child. So I think, again, in the best construction version of this, politicians are responding to that real need and hoping that this program could possibly help meet it. And the problem is that it really doesn't. And then that is a really sad thing, because those kids do need love and care and intervention in their distressing circumstances. If I were to be a little bit more cynical, and again, there's a range of politicians, just like there's a range of people and everything else. But I think more cynical politicians basically see it as a way to increase their power, because if you're distributing government largesse and you're providing jobs and programs for people that make their jobs long term, you know, then that is long term more votes for you and your party, political party. So, I mean, I'm sure that both of those motivations and many, many others are all at play, but those are kind of two that I think about first.
What would President Biden's Build Back Better bill have done regarding preschool?
And this is President Biden's, you know, basically signature proposal that he's really struggled to kind of get any momentum on in Congress. But the Build Back Better bill really would basically implement in the United States a pretty similar version of that Quebec program that I talked about. It would provide what they call universal preschool. So take that federal Head Start program and make it available to every child of, I think, age 3 and 4, as well as providing more daycare and non-maternal care, subsidized care for younger babies, even younger babies.
How would you counter the conventional wisdom that children need to be in preschool to prepare them for school?
Actually, and my husband has been for years actually a teacher of kids in their first year in school. So we're talking 5-6 year olds, right? But his personal experience, as well as research like this Tennessee study out of Vanderbilt University we're talking about, and many other studies on the emotional and mental health of children, really shows that the strongest way to prepare a young child for academic work is to give them a loving mother and father who are attentive to their needs and respond to them throughout their early years until they're about 6 years old and ready. And what that does is creates the emotional foundation of safety and curiosity that a little child needs in order to begin academically inquiring about the world and wanting to learn more about it. So really, children don't need school to prepare for school. They need a family to prepare for school or life or anything else. You know, it's in a functioning, warm family environment, both warm and disciplined, right? Of course, children need to have expectations for good behavior taught to them and expected of them. So in that, you know, warm and understanding home or where, you know, parents convey to the children what they expect and have high standards for them, that's the perfect way to prepare for being in a school environment, because what it does is really develop in that child the possibly number one thing that they need to not only learn in school, but be happy in life, which is called by neuroscientists executive function. But what that means is basically self-control. If you can control your focus and your energies and your attention, you can learn. And you can learn really well. And that really is what children learn by being loved by their parents.
What do you say to someone who says, it's just impractical. We have to have two incomes to live. The kids, we don't want to send them to preschool. It's better than just some generic daycare. How would you respond to that?
I totally understand the like financial and personal considerations that people would have for two incomes. I mean, I've been a working mother around having six kids, you know, for my whole adulthood, basically. But through that time, what we have kind of decided, because I knew a lot about this research, as well as like just in the beginning when I didn't know so much research, I couldn't let go of my baby. And that instinct is, in fact, not wrong. It's good for both the mom and the baby. I mean, I think really what parents need to sit down and think is, you know, our job as parents, our duty, our responsibility is to do the absolute best that we can on behalf of the neediest and most vulnerable in our family. And so what my husband and I have tried to do, of course, we don't always do it perfect because we're sinners, is if there's any price to be paid, our goal is for the parents to be the ones paying the price and not our children. So I work random weird hours. I work late at night, early in the morning. We try as much as we can to have mom and dad switch off and caring for our own kids ourselves. I've switched between full-time and part-time, you know, all these kinds of configurations with the goal that the children get what we know is best for them, which is as much, you know, mom and dad care as is possible and very, very little non-family care. So, I think there's lots of ways that families can configure that. Having grandma in the home or, you know, other family members or people who are family-like can often be a really great benefit. If you're, you know, monitoring the time is really not too many hours per week and that your child is still emotionally healthy. I mean, there's some great kind of guidance for understanding the importance of that connection between moms and babies and really reinforcing for moms that it's not just your feeling, but it is your baby's need to have you there for those early years. So if moms and dads really need to know more of the information about that, I recommend that they read Erica Komisar's book, K-O-M-I-S-A-R. It's called Being There. So she does a really good job of explaining that attachment research on children to help moms and dads understand that your baby really, really does need you to be with them most of the time of their very early years. And of course, I was just saying, you know, before we went on the air, you know, so I have an almost 2-year-old and he's very, very high needs, very intensive child. And, you know, so I get the need for a break for other people to come in to help. And that's not, you know, we're not talking about doing everything all by yourself. Of course, people with little kids need support from their family or their church family if they don't have family, you know, but what we're talking about is putting the needs of the children first. And it is very clear that those little kids really do need to be especially close to their mother for the majority of their, you know, 0 to 5 years.
Joy Pullman is executive editor of The Federalist, author of the book, The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled Robust Study, Preschool Makes Children Learn Less and Misbehave More. You can read it on the Talk On Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Joy, thanks.
Thank you.
Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll discuss the liturgy for closing a congregation and the disposition of a church building. Our guest will be Pastor Will Whedon. We'll get a review of the movie Nightmare Alley with Pastor Ted Geese. And as usual, it's media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.